We're reading from Genesis chapter 37. Now his brothers have gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As if you know, your brothers are grazing and flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. Soon he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers, and with them flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are?" "Grazing their flocks. They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before they reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said to each other. "Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these citrus and say," and his furious animal discovered him, "then we'll see what comes of his dreams."
When Reuben heard them and tried to save Joseph, "Let's not kill him," he said. "Just throw him into this well in the wilderness. But don't hurt him." He said this plan to save him from them, send Joseph back to his father. When Joseph came up to his brothers, they ripped off his long robe with full sleeves. Then they took him and threw him into the well, which was dry. While they were eating, they suddenly saw a group of Ishmaelites traveling from Gilead to Egypt. Their camels loaded with spices and resins. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain by killing our brother and covering up the murder? Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites. Then we won't have to hurt him after all. He is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed, and when some Midianite traders came by, the brothers pulled Joseph out of the well and sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt.
When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal had devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on slack cloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard.
Thank you very much. Well done.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all. Last week, we began our series on Joseph, and Nico taught us that life is often unfair. But among all the injustices that we face, God intervenes. And the amazing thing is that he generally intervenes through us. So Nico said, God's will is to work through us in our lives so that we are a blessing to those around us. Well, last week it was Joseph's brothers who were being treated a bit unfairly. This week it's Joseph himself. So his reward for going out to check how they are and going the extra mile to Dothan when he didn't find them when he was expecting to find them, going the extra mile, his reward is to be thrown into a cistern and left to die. So a cistern is a deep pit for holding water that he wouldn't have been able to climb out of. What would you have been thinking if you had been in that cistern? It's in the desert, there's no food, there's no water, we're told it's dry, there's no way out. And you've been betrayed by your brothers. How would you have felt? Maybe you once felt trapped in a pit of despair yourself. By me, what a depressing way to start a sermon. Lighten up, will you? Come on. So we're going to cheer ourselves up. We're going to have a picnic. But I forgot all the pork pies, so we're going to watch someone having a picnic instead. So if John could do the lights, that would be fantastic. Let's enjoy a picnic. Thank you, John. You can keep me in the darkness if you want, but the key thing I've learned from studying this passage is just how different God's perspective is from our perspective, even when we're looking at exactly the same thing. So I'm guessing the people in that clip, they saw each other, they saw the picnic blanket, they saw the food, they probably saw the boats and the city skyline in the distance, but that was it. God was looking down on the same scene, but he saw so much more, didn't he? Every street in that city, every person on the shoreline, every person in the country, in the world. He's looking down on the same scene, but he has a completely different perspective. And if we'd played that on, we'd have got another dozen or so panning out to see God looking across the whole universe, all the galaxies. It's amazing. Anyway, the story of Joseph reminds us that God's perspective is completely different from yours and mine. God sees the really big picture. And that means he sees things that are invisible to us in all the situations that we face. So whenever our lives seem confused, whenever they seem unfair or hopeless, it's good to realize that God is looking at something far bigger and something that looks rather different. He can see far more opportunities to work his ways and to move things forward. So if we return to Joseph in the pit, His whole worldview was those dusty walls. But God's view, if you zoom out far enough to the really big picture of Joseph, was this. God had made a promise to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And Joseph is part of that promise. Joseph was descended from Abraham, and he was the favored son in that whole generation. That's the big picture in this story. And that's a picture that spans all of the nations, and it stands across the centuries. That's God's big picture of the situation Joseph was in. Nothing is going to get in the way of that promise that God made to Abraham, not even a cistern in the desert. Joseph may be looking at the walls of a pit. God is looking far beyond those walls. God's actually looking many years ahead to a terrible famine that would threaten the whole nation of Israel, as we'll find out in the next few weeks. He's looking ahead to a time when he will install Joseph as the ruler of a foreign land, and he will use Joseph's skills, brilliant leadership skills, to provide food for his people and rescue them. And it will be food grown in Egypt of all places. It's a bizarre story. But contrast God's view and God's plans with Joseph's view in that pit. Contrast them again when at the end of today's reading, Joseph is being led to a foreign land by the Midianites, traditional enemies of Israel. And then again in a few weeks' time when he's betrayed and he spends years in prison in Egypt. God's perspective, our perspective. God's plans, our plans. Now, you won't find the words "God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform" anywhere in the Bible, but they're true. I guess the question is, why does God work like that? Why the pit? Why the prison? Why is it all so complicated? Well, one answer comes back to the issue of perspective. Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." I also suggest that God wouldn't choose to do things quite in the way that they end up being done if it was left entirely to him. God's blueprint for the world was a world without injustice, without murder, without betrayal. But mankind put that, paid to that, in the Garden of Eden. So instead, mankind has free will to put in the way of God's plans every imaginable obstacle. Was it God's design that Joseph's brothers would throw him into that cistern? I don't think so. It's like having a 1 o'clock flight from Heathrow and being told that the M25 is blocked. Everyday occurrence, but it's just a massive problem that's been thrown in from nowhere, and God has to find a way around it. A massive diversion in his plans. He needs to find another way. So if God's plans seem convoluted, it's because of mankind's insistence on going the wrong way time after time. Yet somehow, despite every conceivable obstacle mankind throws in the way, God does find a way to honour his promises. And he has done that all through time. It's amazing. Now, I'd really like you to listen up to this next bit. This is truly astonishing. It is a statistically proven fact that England are more likely to win the World Cup in a penalty shootout against Germany, having missed the first three penalties, than it is for God to break any of his promises. When awful things happen, and when the world seems a dark place, let's remember that God always finds a way to honour his promises. And there's a vital follow-on to that, and it goes back to what Nico said last week. God works out his ways through us. Now, the way to his goal is blocked by billions of obstacles that mankind has chucked in the way. But God has got a few players on the pitch, that's you and me, who can occasionally kick the ball in the right direction. God did indeed rescue his people from that terrible famine. And he did it through Joseph. Now, Joseph wasn't a perfect man, but he's a very good man and a very able man. And God can do amazing things through a person like that who loves him and is obedient to him. So what's he doing through you just now? How are you doing God's will by being a blessing to those around you? In comparison to Joseph, Reuben was not a particularly good man, but did you see the vital part he played in the story? Reuben persuaded his brothers not to murder Joseph on the spot, but to adopt Plan B, the cistern. So God doesn't just work through the best of the best. God works through weak, fallible people like Reuben. He works through weak, fallible people like you and me. So again, I repeat, what's he doing through you just now? How are you doing God's will by being a blessing to those around you? I'm going to finish, and I just want to recap on a couple of important points. The story of Joseph in the cistern, that teaches us about perspective. At that point, his whole world was those dusty walls. And there are times in our own lives, too, when everything crowds in on us, when one issue completely dominates, an illness, a bereavement, a terrible injustice, whatever it may be. In those times, everything crowds in. In those times, let's though remember that God has a completely different perspective. He sees something far, far bigger, and from his perspective, the situation can look very different. And he will often send help from the most unlikely sources, from Reuben, from the Midianites, from very strange places indeed. He finds a way to do his will. And the second thing I wanted to recap on is that we see that God keeps his promises despite every obstacle that's thrown in the way. Mankind's interventions can lead to all sorts of strange things happening in the world, to all sorts of injustice and terrible things. Joseph faced them, and so do we. But let's keep in mind that the big picture story, God's big promises, never fail. So when you zoom far enough out today, this is the New Testament big picture. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus as their Savior will be reconciled to God and will be raised with him in glory. Revelation 21, God's dwelling place will be among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That is the big picture that God is working to in the world today. Nothing is going to prevent that promise, that picture, from coming true. Whatever the obstacles, God is going to find a way to make that happen. So I ask again, are you kicking the ball in the right direction? Are you playing your part in doing God's will by being a blessing to those around us? That's God's big picture. Please let us all play our part. Amen.